Okay, today is April 18th, and we're going to talk about the word jihad, and it's in five different contexts, and I'm going to, and there are three of them that are really not relevant to what we're concerned with here, and I'm going to read the first three first to get them out of the way. Altogether, there are 41 occurrences of the word in the Quran in 36 verses and 19 surahs, and then this person has divided into five different groups. So the first group is really not what we're mainly interested in, has to do with the solemnity of oaths. So let me read you those verses. There are five of them. The first is 554. And it goes like this. And those who believe will say, are these they who swore by Allah with their most solemn oaths that they were surely with you? Their works are vain and they have become the losers. So the jihad root there is not in the word swore, but in the word solemn. So that makes sense. It's something that's, you know, that you put a lot of effort into. And then 6110 is the next one. I'm just trying to be complete here. Can't stand incompleteness. 110. And they swear their strongest oaths by Allah that if there came to them a sign, they would surely believe therein. Say, surely signs are with Allah, but what should make you understand that when the signs come, they will not believe. So that's, once again, the word that's translated strongest is the jihad word there. 1639. Okay. And they swear by Allah their strongest oaths that Allah will not raise up those who die, nay, he will surely raise them up, a promise he has made by binding on himself, but most people know not. And 2454. And they swear by Allah their strongest oaths that if thou command them, they will surely go forth. Say, swear not, what is required is actual obedience in what is right. Surely Allah is well aware of what you do. And then again, finally, 3543. Let's see here. Okay. And they swore by Allah their, guess what, strongest oaths, that if a warner came to them, they would follow guidance better than any other people. But when a warner did come to them, it only increased them in aversion. Okay. So that's, you know, as I say, the word jihad there is not really the verb. It's the adjective. And I guess it's usually translated in this translation, at least, strongest. So the most forceful. Maybe that's the best way to think of it. Forceful. The result of striving. Oaths. And then there's one. Yeah.
God, it doesn't sound like those oaths are actually very strong or solemn, because they're not really, really working, right?
Well, yeah. Well, true. But I mean, I think the point. Well, maybe the word solemn is not really felicitous. Maybe it should be something like, oh shoot, it came to mind. Now it went off. Wait a minute. I was thinking of a really good word, like forceful or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, I absolutely, you know, positively swear, blah blah blah, which I could be just lying about, right? But I mean, the idea is. Solemn, I think, you're right. Solemn connotes seriousness, right? But if you say it was somebody forcefully asserted something, that doesn't mean the person's sincere about it, right?
Right, right. They may be being forceful because they don't really believe it and trying to convince themselves and others of their belief.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, given the fact that jihad... The basic meaning of that word is striving, you know, so it does indicate a certain kind of effort involved. And so I can see how it would, in this context, would mean something like forcefully expressed, right? An oath that was forcefully expressed. And so that gets translated. Well, I think it was one of them that said, I think the translator said solemn, and I think the others was strongest.
Right.
But maybe forceful would be better, you know. And, you know, if it's really a hollow oath, as you are intimating, at least in some cases. But anyway, that's why the, that's what the word would connote. Okay, there's one instance where it simply means toil. Those who find fault with such of the believers as give alms of their own free will, and with such as find nothing to give save the earnings of their toil. In other words, the effort that they've put into earning a living is the idea.
Don, what's the verse citation?
Oh, sorry, 979.
Thank you.
Yeah, 979. So those who find fault with such beliefs give alms of their own free will, and with such as find nothing to give save the earnings of their, you know, the effort that they, their toil, they thus deride them. Allah shall requite them for their derision, and for them is a grievous punishment. A lot of grievous punishment. Okay, so that one is just the effort involved in, you know, making a living. And then there is the striving of somebody to convert people to heresy. And the first, there's two of them. 29:9 is the first one. And we who have enjoined on man kindness to his parents, I'm sorry, and we have enjoined on man kindness to his parents, but if they strive to make thee associate that with me of which thou hast no knowledge, then obey them not. Unto me is your return, and I shall inform you of what you did. And by the way, that associate with me, I assume is talking about things like the Trinity, you know, Jesus is God, or the Holy Spirit is God, associating with Allah, other beings. But anyway, but the word strive in what I just read you is the jihad word. They are striving to make you, to turn you into a Christian, basically, which would be heretical. And then 31:16 is the other one. Boo-boo-boo. And if they contend with thee, now that I guess is probably the jihad word there, to make thee set up equals with me, concerning which thou hast no knowledge, same idea, right? Obey them not, but be a kind companion to them in all worldly affairs, and in spiritual matters follow the way of him who turns to me. There then unto me will be your return, and I shall inform you of what you used to do. That's almost identical with the other one, but in this particular case, I presume contend is the jihad word, striving to convert you to this heresy. Okay? So that then eliminates, of the 41 occurrences of the word jihad in the Quran, that eliminates 8 of them, because I think none of them is relevant to what we're interested in here. The main question, of course, is whether we're talking about a violent sort of thing, or we're talking about a sort of a, you know, proselytizing in a sort of innocent way. And now the I'll read you once again what this person said, because I don't think I got it on the recorder. 17 derivatives of jihad occur altogether 41 times in 11 Meccan texts and 30 Medinan ones. And that's really important too, remember, because the Meccan texts are typically not involved with warfare as occurred once he fled to Medina in 622. I mean, that's when open warfare broke out. Even though his status was deteriorating for quite some time before that, there was no actual violence involved. So, I mean, and that, by the way, was one of the criteria I used to try to figure out when this guy says there's X of this and Y of the other, to try to figure out which he was putting in which category, because one would assume, reasonably, that the more violent ones would have to do with the Medinan as opposed to the Meccan Surahs. So But anyway, yeah. Let's see. With the following five meanings: striving because of religious belief, 21; war, 12. Those are the two that we're interested in. And I've gotten rid of the others. Non-Muslim parents exerting pressure, that is, jihad, to make their children abandon Islam, 2. Those are the two I just read. The solemn oaths business that we started off with, and then he calls physical strength. I call it toil. That's number one of those. So now what's left is my best guess at this person's division between jihad as striving because of religious belief, and there are 21 instances of that, versus violence, war, and this person says there are 12 instances of that. That is by no means clear, however. And if you go, for example, to that website I gave you at the beginning of class, the one that is corpus.quranquran.com/translation.jsp, if you go there, you see, like I say, about half a dozen or so translations. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I noticed the first one and one about five down, or six down maybe, were tended to be violent. And the one right after the second one tended to, you know, tone things down a little bit. So there you go. Anyway, so what I'm going to do first is read the 21 instances where this person interprets it as striving for religious belief. Okay? And or striving because of religious belief. So the first one is 2:219. So let's go there. Okay. Those who believe and those who emigrate and strive hard in the cause of Allah, it is these who hope for Allah's mercy, and Allah's most forgiving and merciful. Now, interestingly, now I'm just making my best guess as to, because this person, I was trying to make things line up numerically. He says 21 and then 12. But if you look at the context of this one that I just read, the verse before, I'm sure I read this the other day, they ask thee about fighting in the sacred month. Say, fighting therein is a great transgression, but to hinder men from the way of Allah and to be ungrateful to him and to hinder men from the sacred mosque and to turn out its people therefrom is a greater sin with Allah, and persecution is worse than killing. And they will not cease fighting you until they turn you back from your faith, if they can. And whoso from among you turns back from his faith and dies while he is a disbeliever, it is they whose work shall be vain in this world and the next. These are the inmates of the fire, and therein they shall abide. And then this verse, 2:219, those who believe and those who emigrate and strive hard in the cause of Allah, it is these who hoped for Allah's mercy and Allah's most forgiving, merciful. So I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing that this person put 219 in the strive for religious belief, but given the context, don't know. Next one, 3:143. Do you suppose that you will enter heaven while Allah has not yet distinguished those of you that strive in the way of Allah and has not yet distinguished the steadfast? Once again, two verses before that, it says, if you have received an injury, surely the disbelieving people have already received a similar injury. And such days we cause to alternate among men that they may be admonished, and that Allah may distinguish those who believe and may take witnesses from among you, and Allah loves not the unjust. And that Allah may purify those who believe and destroy the disbelievers. And then our verse, do you suppose that you will enter heaven while Allah has not yet distinguished those of you who strive in the way of Allah? And what does that mean? Does that mean strive to be a, you know, to you know, to perform all the six pillars of Islam, you know, the Hajj and the almsgiving, et cetera, et cetera? Or does it mean something a little more violent? 536. O ye who believe, fear Allah and seek the way of approach to Him and strive in His way that you may prosper. Now this is a different... Now of course the sections are not Muhammad's. They are, you know, later to try... I mean, the early surahs are really long. You know, this is surah number 5. And so they're divided into multiple sections. In the previous section, for example, near the end of it, this would be verse 34, and I just read you from 36, right? Yeah, 34, two verses back. The reward of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive to create disorder in the land is only that they be slain or crucified or their hands and their feet be cut off on alternate sides. I read this one, right? Because I can't forget this one where you cut off the hands and the feet on alternate sides, blah, blah, blah. Except those who repent, etc. And then... O ye who believe, fear Allah, and seek the way of approach to Him, and strive in His way that you may prosper. And 55, same surah, verse 55. O ye who believe, whoso among you turns back from his religion, then let it be known that in his stead Allah will soon bring a people whom He will love and who will love Him, and who will be kind and humble towards believers, hard and firm against disbelievers. They will strive in the cause of Allah and will not fear the reproach of a fault finder. This is Allah's grace. He bestows it on whomsoever He pleases, and Allah is bountiful and all-knowing. Okay. Two verses back from that one, you know, it's 53, and thou wilt see those in whose hearts is a disease hastening towards them, saying, we fear lest a misfortune befall us. Maybe Allah will bring about victory or some other event from Himself. Then they will become regretful of what they concealed in their minds. And those who believe will say, are these they who swore by Allah with their most solemn oath? That's the one I read a minute ago, the jihad one. 554, right? That they were surely with you. Their works are vain and they have become the losers. O ye who believe, etc. You know, is this... Now, this context sounds like when you go back a couple of verses, it sounds like those who are hanging back, right, from participating in the war, saying, well, you know, I might get hurt. I'm not too keen on this. And maybe Allah will bring about victory without any effort. You know, maybe God will just boom, create a miracle and we won't have to worry about it all. And, of course, those people are... And the next verse then say, are you the one who swore your most forceful oath by Allah? You know, forget about it, you know. God, Allah will love those who strive in His cause. Okay. 9. There's a whole bunch of them in 9. We start off with 16. Do you think that you would be left alone while Allah has not yet known those of you who strive in the cause of Allah? And do not take anyone for an intimate friend beside Allah and His Messenger and the believers. Allah is well aware of what you do. But, once again, I mean, this is getting to be a broken record. Back to verse 12. I probably read this. And if they break their oaths after the covenant, that sounds like even farther back, they're talking about a covenant, setting up a truce and so forth, and attack your religion and fight these leaders of disbelief, surely they have no regard for their oaths that they may desist. Will you not fight a people who have broken their oaths and who plotted to turn out the messenger, and they were the first to commence hostilities against you? Do you fear them? Nay, Allah is most worthy that you should fear him, if you are believers. Fight them then, that Allah may punish them at your hands, and humiliate them, and help you do victory over them, and relieve the minds of the people who disbelieve, and that he may take away the wrath of their hearts. And Allah turns with mercy to whomsoever he pleases, and Allah is all-knowing and wise. And now, the verse, do you think that you would be left alone while Allah has not yet known those of you who strive in the cause of Allah? And do not take anyone for an intimate friend besides Allah's messenger and the other believers, and so forth, so on. So once again, don't know. 9:19. So we're just, you know, a couple of verses, three verses down from there. He's talking about the idolaters who don't keep the mosques in good condition. And then, do you hold the giving of drink to the pilgrims and the maintenance of the sacred mosque as equal to the works of him who believes in Allah, the last day, and strives in the path of Allah? They are not at all equal in the sight of Allah, and Allah guides not the unjust people. And the very next verse, 20, is also on this next one. Those who believe and immigrate from their homes for the sake of God and strive in the cause of Allah with their property and their persons have the highest rank in the sight of Allah, and it is they who shall triumph. And he goes on about the gardens and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, when he talks about leaving, using your property and your person in the cause of Allah, what does that mean? Your person. Does it mean going out and fighting? May very well. That was 20. 24 is the next one. Same surah, 24. So we're just going down. So after the business about gardens and so forth, we get to 24. Say, if your fathers and your sons and your brethren and your wives and your kinsfolk, and the wealth that you have acquired and the trade whose dullness you fear and the dwellings which you love are dearer to you than Allah and his messenger and striving in his cause, then wait until Allah comes with his judgment. And Allah guides not the disobedient people. Very next verse, by the way. Surely Allah has helped you on many a battlefield, and on the day of Hunain, when your great numbers made you proud, but they availed you not, and the earth with all its vastness became straitened for you, and then you turned your backs retreating. So the very next verse, it refers to a battle. Now, where am I? 16:111. Oh, 16. Then surely thy Lord, to those who fled their homes after they had been persecuted, and then struggled hard in the cause of Allah, and remain steadfast. Aye, surely, after that, thy Lord is most forgiving and merciful. Okay. So I don't see anything around it having to do with warfare. Those who fled their homes after they had been persecuted and then struggled hard in the cause of Allah. Well, it could mean violence. You know, don't know. But I mean, this is clearly about followers of Muhammad who had been persecuted by the polytheists and had to flee their homes. And then they struggled hard in the cause of Allah in response. What does that mean? Does that mean, you know, redoubled their worship? Or does it mean fighting back? 22. Surah 22, verse 79. And this one, by the way, has two instances of jihad in it. I think it's the first one with multiple instances that we encounter. 79. Oh, yeah. Okay. And strive in the cause of Allah as it behooves you to strive for it. There's your two strives. He has chosen you and has laid no hardship upon you in religion, so follow the faith of your father Abraham. He named you Muslims, both before and in this book, so that the messenger may be a witness over you, and that you may be witnesses over mankind. Therefore, observe prayer and pay the zakat, and hold fast to Allah. He is your master, and an excellent helper. That's the concluding verse of Surah number 22. It's kind of eloquent, I think. And I can see that one as a non-violent one, maybe.
Don, can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
That seems to be perhaps the closest one to an idea that's been missing all along, which is pacifism.
Mm.
You know, which is, you know, let's just say like a Quaker-type pacifism. You resist and hold your faith, but you're not physically resisting. You're just, you know, holding the line in your own spirit or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
All of these so far seem to be at least some level of physical resistance.
Uh-huh. I would
not just keeping the faith.
Right. I would tend to agree because this is 22 and you get down toward the end of it and you look at the last section, and the last section is like a peroration, I guess, you know, kind of a, here's my big resounding conclusion here, because he's talking about, that Allah is, you know, almighty, and you need to esteem Allah and esteem and believe in the angels and all that sort of thing. And then the very last verse, and strive in the cause of Allah, you know, that sort of thing. I agree. This one is not as easily interpreted as exhorting to violence. Okay, that was 22. Next one, 2553. And this one also has two, the word jihad, or a variant thereof, occurs twice. Now this one. So obey not the disbelievers and fight against them by means of the Quran, a great fight. And by the way, that is retranslated. Occasionally, this particular translation, whoever was the editor, gives a few retranslations from time to time. And so this one is, so obey not the disbelievers and strive against it with the Quran, a great striving. So that's where the word jihad is, obviously. But obviously, the first translator interpreted it more violently. Using the Quran in this great struggle that we're engaged in. So I'm not sure about that one. But obviously, I think the person that I quoted at the beginning takes that to be one of the more pacifist ones. 29.7, and this is yet another one with two instances in it. 29.7. Okay. And whoso strives only for his own soul. Verily, Allah is independent of all creatures. And this is early in the surah, obviously. And he's talking about Allah testing people and those who commit evil deeds, that Allah will be, you can't get away with it. Be prepared to meet Allah. And whoso strives only for his own soul. As to those who believe and do good works, and so forth and so on, remove their evils, and you know. So yeah, that one sounds reasonably pacifistic, I guess. But anyway, the word strive, the word jihad occurs twice, right? Because whoso strives only for his own soul. That's the double usage there. And the same surah, verse 70. Oh, very last verse. As for those who strive in our path, we will surely guide them in our ways, and verily Allah is with those who do good. And the context of that is, once again, the concluding section of the surah, and he's talking about, this life of the world is nothing but a pastime and a sport, and so forth and so on, so you're looking forward to the next life, and so forth. So, yeah. You can't invent a lie, you can't reject the truth. And as for those who strive in our path, we will surely guide them in our ways. Okay. 47:32. Okay. And we will surely try you until we distinguish those among you who strive for the cause of God and those who are steadfast, and we will make known the facts about you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once again, I don't see any surrounding warfare type language. 49:16. The believers are only those who truly believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then doubt not, but strive with their possessions and their persons in the cause of Allah. It is they who are truthful.
Don, they desperately need some parables to tell some stories instead of just one dry phrase after another.
Yeah, I know. Well, but I mean several of these verses juxtapose possessions and persons. You know, you have to strive in the cause of Allah with your possessions and with your persons.
It reminds me what Marty said, where her group gave up because it was all so dull. I mean, yeah. There's no life to these phrases.
Okay, well, that may be, but we're not talking about style here. We're talking about content.
I mean, as a narrative, to get the point across, it's not that lively, right?
I think if you were a native Arabic speaker and read this in Arabic, I think you'd find it inspiring. That's what I read, at least. It strikes a native Arabic speaker like Shakespeare strikes our ear, or Chaucer, or something like that. You know, it's clearly old Arabic, and sometimes old sounds good. I don't know why, but also it's very poetic, apparently. So I read.
I don't know, but just imagine the
loses something
about some of those parables and stories, man. I mean, well, it just wouldn't have much punch.
Anyway, the verse right before it is referring to the Arabs of the desert, who say, "We believe," and then say, "You have not believed yet," but rather say, "We have accepted Islam, for the true belief has not yet entered your hearts. But if you obey, you know, then blah, blah, blah. But the believers are only those who truly believe in Allah and His Messenger, and doubt not, but strive with their possessions and their persons." That business about striving with your person, I don't know what that means, unless it means fighting. I'm not sure. You know, possessions, I get that. Persons, I'm not sure about.
Well, Don, that 22:78 that you quoted was talking about at the end, you know, striving by prayer, you know, tax,
right.
Remitting taxes,
yeah.
Holding fast to Allah. So to me, that would be the possessions part is the you know, the taxing part.
Mm-hmm.
And then prayer, that's more of striving with your person.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so.
And it could also be testifying, although it doesn't seem like Islam is big on proselytizing, although, of course, that's what he had to do at the beginning.
Right.
But maybe that's the with your person bit.
But profession of the faith is one of the six pillars. So, I mean, that's kind of like testifying. It's not exactly proselytizing, but it is not denying, you know, your religion. Yeah, maybe so.
And at pilgrimage, I mean, that's certainly with your person.
Uh-huh.
It's not an armchair traveler.
Right. Okay, the next one is Surah 60, verse 2. This is, well, be verse 1 in, you know, in what you're looking at, Pat, of course, because, you know, it's always one less except for Surah number 9. O ye who believe, take not my enemy from and your enemy for friends, offering them love while they disbelieve in the truth which has come to you, and drive out the messenger and yourselves from your homes merely because you believe in Allah, your Lord. If you go forth to strive in my cause and seek my pleasure, take them not for friends, sending them messages of love in secret, while I know best what you conceal and what you reveal. And whoever of you does so, that has surely lost the right path. And then the next verse has to do with if they get the upper hand, they show themselves to be your active enemies. and will stretch forth their hands and their tongues with evil intent, and so forth and so on. Okay, anyway, that's 60, and then 61:12 is the next one. Let's see here. That you believe in Allah and His Messenger and strive in the cause of Allah with your wealth and your persons. There you go again. That is better for you if you did but know. And the last one in this group, which is the 21 that this person, my best guess as to the 21 this person classifies as, striving in the faith. 66:10. O Prophet, strive hard against the disbelievers and the hypocrites, and be strict against them. Their home is hell, and an evil destination it is. So that's addressing Muhammad directly. Now, the 12... Yeah, the 12 that this person classifies as actually fighting. First one is 496. This one, by the way, has three instances. So this is a three for the price of one, so to speak. 496. Those of the, and by the way, I did look up the Arabic for this one. There's another website that had transliterated. There's several that have transliterations. It was pretty good. Some things I didn't like about it too much. But anyway, the word is mujahideen, basically, here. Those who strive. Those are the believers who sit still, accepting the disabled ones, and those who strive in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their persons. There you go again, the mujahideen, are not equal. I can just hear Al-Qaeda referring to this verse. They're not equal. Allah has exalted in rank those who strive with their wealth and their persons above those who sit still. And to each, Allah has promised good. And Allah has exalted those who strive above those who sit still by a great reward. Okay. So the mujahideen then are elevated above everybody else. Surah number 8, and there are several almost in a row here. The verses are 73, 75, and 76. Let me just look back at 71 for a second. O Prophet, say to the captives who are in your hands, if Allah knows any good in your hearts, He will give you better than that which has been taken from you, etc. And if they intend to deal treacherously with thee, they have already dealt treacherously with Allah before, etc. Now we get to 73, which is the first of the three in Surah number 8. Surely those who have believed and fled from their homes and striven with their property and their persons for the cause of Allah, and those who have given them shelter and help, these are friends one of another. But as for those who have believed but have not left their homes, in other words, this is griping about, once again, there are several instances of this where he's griping about the people who have not participated in the warfare, I think, who have said, remember the one where it said, well, maybe Allah will just bring victory, without any of us doing anything, like, creating a miracle or something. Well, this is the same general group there. Have not left their homes. You are not at all responsible for their protection until they leave their homes. But if they seek your help in the matter of religion, then it is your duty to help them, except against the people between whom and yourselves there is a treaty. And Allah sees what you do. And then the intervening verse here, 74. This is not one of the ones, but those who disbelieve, they're friends of one another, blah, blah, blah. And if you do not, if not, there will be mischief in the land and great disorder. And now the next two verses also contain each one instance of jihad, 75 and 76. So 73, 75, and 76. And this is 75. And those who have believed and left their homes and striven in the cause of Allah, and those who have given them shelter and help, these indeed are the true believers. For them is forgiveness and an honorable provision. And those who have believed since then, afterward, and left their homes and striven for the cause of Allah along with you, these are of you, and as to blood relations. They are nearer to one another in the book of Allah. Surely Allah knows all things well. So, yeah, that's the end of Surah 4, 6, 8, 8, by the way. Then back to Surah number 9. All the remaining ones are in Surah number 9. There's a whole slew of them in 9. Some of them not so violent. Some of them more along the lines of warfare, apparently. And the first one here is 41. Okay, the 41 reads, "Go forth, light and heavy, and strive with your property and your persons in the cause of Allah. This is better for you if you only knew." Let's see. Yeah, so two verses before that, if you do not go forth to fight, he will punish you with a painful punishment and will choose in your set of people other than you. And if you help him not, then know Allah has helped him even when the disbelievers drove him forth while he was one of the two, when they were both in the cave and so forth and so on. So clearly this is in the context of warfare. That's why I wonder if this person's, you know, every time your property and your person pops up, I just wonder if it's referring to warfare in each case, because in some cases it's pretty clear. And anyway, the next one is 44, so it's only three verses down from there. And that one reads, "Those who believe in Allah on the last day will not ask leave of thee to be exempted from striving with their property and their persons. And Allah well knows the righteous." And talking about those who intended to go forth, and if they had gone forth with you, you know, this would be a great thing, and so forth and so on. So,
what was that referenced on? What?
That was. I'm in Surah number 9 now, and I read. Uh-huh. I read. There's several of them. The first one I read was 41, which would be 40 right. In what you're reading. No, 41. They're the same. Surah number 9 is the only one that does not have that introductory verse that mm-hmm. could result in a discrepancy. So 41. 41, 44. Those are the two I've read so far.
You've just read 44.
Yeah, yeah. I just read 44. Next one is 73. O prophet, strive against the disbelievers and the hypocrite, and be severe to them. Their abode is hell, and an evil destination it is. Okay. And then next one, 81, all the rest are in the 80s. 81 is the next one. And once again, we're back with people who don't participate in the war. 81 reads, "Those who were left behind rejoiced in their sitting at home behind the back of the messenger of Allah and were averse to striving with their property and their persons in the cause of Allah. And they said, go forth not in the heat." Yeah, it's just too hot out there. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I might get heat stroke if I participate here. I'm going to sit at home. Say, the fire of hell is more intense than heat. There you go, Tom. There's a little bit of, you know, could they but understand? And so forth and so on, blah, blah, blah. And they don't, you know, in the intervening verses, there's talk about those who really do go forth to fight and so forth and so on. And then we hit 86.
Yeah, Don, that was like the closest to a humor, but the person wasn't being funny. That's hey, true. You think that's hot? Let yeah, me tell yeah. you about hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Don, can I ask a question? You know,
yeah.
These obviously are all directed toward males.
True.
Because the women aren't allowed to go forward.
Well, that's a good question. You know, the entire Quran is written for men. I mean, clearly. I mean, when women are mentioned in the Quran, it's mentioned in the context of, well, I'm going to tell you guys what to do about your women folk, that sort of thing. But I guess women can strive in the cause of Allah as well. Darn well better be
but
able to.
But they're supposed to be sitting at home.
Well, maybe that's, yeah, well, true. Okay, that's right. But we're not talking about this. We're talking about fighters here. And we get to verse 86. That's the next one. The last two are going to be 86 and 88. And when a surah is revealed enjoining, believe in Allah and strive in the cause of Allah and the company with his messenger, Those of them who possess affluence ask leave of thee and say, leave us that we be with those who just sit at home. And then the intervening verse, here you go, Tom. They are content to be with the women folk, and their hearts are sealed so that they understand not. Well, that one, that's the intervening verse, 86 and 88. 88 is, but the messenger and those who believe with him strive in the cause of Allah with their property and their persons, you know, and their persons. And it is they who shall have good things, and it is they who shall prosper. And then he goes on to talk about the gardens and so forth and so on. So there you go. That is a 100% complete, exhaustive inventory of all 41 instances of the word jihad in the Quran. The only question I have, I understand, I think, pretty well, the original 8 instances that are not, you know, what we're interested in, the 5 having to do with, you know, a forceful oath, the 1 having to do with striving in your work, and 2 having to do with striving to convert somebody to heresy. So that takes it down to 33. And of those 33, one scholar at least says 21 are striving in the cause of religion in a peaceful sort of way, and 12 have to do with warfare. But I can well imagine somebody else coming along and saying, no, it's not 21 and 12, it's really 15 and, you know, and 18 or something like that, you know, because, or, well, whatever, 17, I guess, because it's not clear. You know, what I was trying to do was contextualize it as I was going along and seeing which ones were in a sort of a military context as opposed to a non-military one. So chew that over. I mean, I can chew it over a little bit too, you know, and look at it again and see if how I would maybe arrange them. I'm not sure it would be 21 and 12. It seems to me that there are more on the violent side than not, but then again, you know, I could be wrong. And you might want to check out, as I said, that website online that gives you like at least 6, maybe more like 8 different translations of the same verse, which can be pretty significant. And then we can talk about jihad some more next time. I will go ahead in the remaining weeks say something about Islamic theology or how it was interpreted, you know, a little bit later, because I have notes on that and I taught it before. So anyway, but we don't have time to talk about it right now because we're almost out of time. But next week, let's talk about it some more. Think about it. Maybe I'll send everybody an email or something. I can list these for you if you want, and you can look them over at your leisure if you're so inclined. So anyway, I'll see you next week. All righty? Bye-bye.
Thanks, Don.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Don.
Sure thing.